Today is Wednesday, November 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Even as world leaders congratulate President-elect Joe Biden, the Trump administration still has yet to concede.
And President Trump is 100% within his rights to look into allegations of irregularities and weigh his legal options.
Plus, China's massive online shopping day.
Alibaba started Singles Day in 2009, marketing it as a festival for singles to treat themselves with retail therapy, a sort of anti-Valentine's Day.
We'll have these stories and more next. French officials say that several people were wounded when an explosive device hit a ceremony commemorating the end of World War I at a cemetery in the Saudi Arabian city of Jeddah. The officials from the French Foreign Ministry said that several countries had representatives at the ceremony held on Wednesday at a cemetery for non-Muslim dead. The identities of the victims were not immediately clear, and no one had claimed responsibility for the explosion. France has urged its citizens in the kingdom to be on maximum alert amid heightened tensions after an assailant decapitated a French middle school teacher who showed caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad in class. President-elect Joe Biden dismissed the Trump administration's refusal to begin the official transition process. This as Republican Party leaders sided with President Donald Trump in his legal fight to overturn Biden's projected presidential election victory. White House correspondent Patsy Wiedekuswara.
I wanted really to congratulate you and congratulate Kamala Harris for this election.
I really congratulate President-elect Biden and Kamala Harris.
World leaders, including British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and French President Emmanuel Macron, congratulated Joe Biden on his projected victory. But domestically, it's a different story.
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration.
The nation's top diplomat, Mike Pompeo, refused to accept the election result, repeating President Donald Trump's call to count only the legal votes, a term he used to advance his so far baseless allegations that Democrats stole the election.
There is no evidence of any of the assertions made by the president or Secretary of State Pompeo. Secretary of State Pompeo.
On Tuesday, Biden characterized Trump's refusal to concede as an embarrassment, but largely dismissed it.
The fact that they're not willing to acknowledge we won at this point is not of much consequence in our planning and what we're able to do between now and January 20th.
Only a handful of Republican senators have congratulated Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris, as has President George W. Bush, the last Republican president. But party leaders are siding with Trump. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
President Trump is 100% within his rights to look into allegations of irregularities and weigh his legal options.
Most Republicans privately acknowledge that Biden will be the next president, but are unwilling to challenge Trump, said Republican strategist Rob Stutzman.
Well, the political calculation is you don't want to get on the crosswise with Donald Trump, who could all, just in one tweet, you know, turn the ire of about half the Republican Party upon you. Nobody wants that headache.
Construction has already begun for the inauguration on January 20th, but the formal transition process does not start until the Trump-appointed administrator of the Federal General Services Administration announces it. So far, she hasn't. Without the cooperation of the outgoing administration, former Vice President Biden's decades of political experience will be key. Barbara Perry is the Director of Presidential Studies at the University of Virginia's Miller Center.
He is very familiar with the White House and the bureaucracy of the executive branch and how it operates. So he will have set up this transition team, which will all be experienced Washington hands.
On Tuesday, the Biden team released the names of people who will review each government agency to help ensure a smooth transfer of power. Patsy Wiedekuswara, VOA News.
To dive deeper into the topic of the lawsuits filed by the Trump campaign, I'm joined on the phone by White House correspondent Patsy Wiedekuswara. Patsy, can you briefly run down some of the major lawsuits that the Trump campaign has filed?
You're right. The Trump campaign has spent much of the past week in court with little success and without presenting much evidence that points out to what they claim to be a fraudulent result or improper vote counting. So So there are a number of lawsuits in several states, including in Pennsylvania, where there are lawsuits challenging the extended deadlines to receive ballots. For background to our listeners, these mail-in ballots have gone overwhelmingly to Joe Biden. There are also lawsuits claiming unfair treatment of Republicans in terms of access to observe the election, all the way to, for example, like Arizona, where there's a lawsuit regarding the Sharpie conspiracy. This is something that the campaign alleges that voters had their ballots incorrectly rejected because they used Sharpies to fill them out. A Sharpie or is like a, you know, like a marker, a large marker. There are other lawsuits in Georgia, in Nevada, in Michigan, as well as recounts in Georgia and Wisconsin.
So, Patsy, if the Trump campaign has not been able to provide credible evidence thus far, why file the suits?
Well, because the main narrative is that, according to the president and his allies, the Democrats have stolen the election. And so the way they fight back is through these legal challenges, right? Even though most experts that I've spoken to are extremely skeptical that, they're with merit, they can be proven, they have evidence, or it'll be effective to overturn the current lead by Joe Biden, because he's not just leading in one state. I mean, he's not just exceeding the electoral vote number by a little bit. He's exceeding by a lot. And so they will have to win a number of lawsuits in order to affect the outcome of the election. And right now, it just doesn't seem likely.
So what's their goal then?
Well, right now, the goal is for the Trump legal team is that they're going to fight this all the way in the hope that some of these cases might eventually lead to the Supreme Court, where the Trump campaign feel that they may have a more sympathetic audience because there is a 6-3 conservative majority there. 6 out of the 9 justices are appointees of Republican presidents, including 3 who are Trump appointees. And the last Trump appointee, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, was confirmed only a week before the election in what Democrats called a rushed process pushed by a Republican majority.
One last question, Patsy. We know that Inauguration Day is January 20th, 2021, but there's another important day coming up in December.
Correct. And so there is a deadline, which is December 8th, in which all of these legal challenges must be resolved so that the electors can cast their votes formally by December 14th.
Patsy Wiedekoswara is VOA's White House correspondent. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Peru's Congress ousted President Martin Vizcarra on Monday in an impeachment vote over corruption allegations, prompting immediate tensions in the Andean nation. Reuters' Brian Wood reports.
Police and protesters clashed in Peru's capital, Lima, on Tuesday after the Peruvian president, Martin Vizcarra, was ousted on corruption allegations. Shots rang out. Tear gas wafted through the city's streets, and several protesters were seen detained by authorities. The head of Peru's Congress, Manuel Merino, will serve as an interim president until July next year. But some protesters on Tuesday were angry at the impeachment and called for Vizcarra's return. This was the second effort by the opposition-dominated Congress to remove President Martin Vizcarra Monday over allegations that he accepted bribes from companies when he served as a governor. Vizcarra has rejected the corruption allegations as baseless and false, but also noted he would not contest his impeachment. He spoke to reporters Monday.
I reiterate to the Peruvian people that I'm leaving with my conscience at peace and my duty fulfilled. We hope that Peru always takes the right path.
Analysts said Merino could push some populist measures in the months leading up to Peru's elections, scheduled for April 2021.
Brian Wood reports for Reuters News. The United Nations is appealing for $45.5 million to provide life-saving assistance for 260,000 of the most vulnerable people affected by Super Typhoon Goni in the Philippines. Lisa Schlein has that report.
Typhoon Goni, the world's most powerful tropical cyclone this year, swept across large swathes of southern Luzon with terrifying force 10 days ago. Torrential rains and violent winds blew away rooftops, damaging and destroying homes and infrastructure in its wake. The lives and livelihoods of hundreds of thousands of people have been shattered. The United Nations says 1.9 million people in 8 of the Philippines' 17 regions have been affected affected by the typhoon, leaving an estimated 845,000 people in need of humanitarian assistance. The UN plans to aid 260,000 of the most vulnerable, among them women, children, the disabled and elderly, people who essentially have lost everything and have no means of support. Given the extent of devastation, the number of casualties has been relatively low. The government reports at least 25 people have been killed, 399 injured, and 7 are missing. UN Resident Humanitarian Coordinator in the Philippines, Gustavo Gonzalez, says the government's preemptive action saved many lives.
The government of the Philippines has made significant efforts, and they deserve a recognition by the huge preemptive evacuation of people. We are talking about 480,000 people that were evacuated before the arrival of typhoon. They were moved to some evacuation centers.
Unfortunately, Gonzalez says, people in the centers now are faced with other risks posed by COVID-19. Local authorities, he notes, are particularly concerned this disaster is taking place at the same time the pandemic is spreading throughout the country.
People in evacuation centers, of course, cannot follow social distancing measures. The lack of appropriate water access and sanitation represent also a health risk for an area that is also well known by previous cholera outbreak.
The World Health Organization reports 400,000 cases of coronavirus, including 7,661 deaths in the Philippines. Gonzalez notes Typhoon Goni destroyed the only COVID-19 laboratory in the heavily affected Bicol region, putting an end to all testing. The appeal will fund essential relief, including food, shelter, hygiene, water and sanitation, psychosocial support, and protection. The money also will be used to restore livelihoods and critical services to promote the rapid recovery of the most affected communities. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And still to come.
Atmospheric data is 3D in nature. Clouds aren't 2D. Winds don't blow east to west, they blow up and down as well.
You're listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Steve Miller. The United States has hit a record number of coronavirus hospitalizations and surpassed 1 million new confirmed cases in just the first 10 days of November. The grim milestones on Tuesday come amid a nationwide surge of infections that shows no signs of slowing. The new wave appears bigger and more widespread than the surges that happened in the spring and summer, and threatens to be worse. Deaths are climbing again, reaching an average of more than 930 each day. In Oklahoma, Dr. Julie Watson of Integris Health, which operates 18 hospitals across the state, said the state was in trouble on KOCO-TV.
Our local and state healthcare resources are approaching their limits. And if nothing is done soon to slow the rise in cases, our hospitals will be more overwhelmed than they already are, and we won't be able to be there for all of those who need it.
However, experts like Dana Hargunani, chief medical officer of the Oregon Health Authority, say medical and testing advances give them reason to believe the nation is better able to deal with the virus this time. She spoke on KPTV television.
We now have in place multiple systems and plans that leave us much better prepared to handle high case counts in sick Oregonians. We are better prepared today than we were in February when we identified our first COVID-19 patient. But there are limitations to what Oregon's healthcare system can handle. Even with regional planning and the hard work of all of our hospital partners, we cannot handle ever-growing high daily case counts and widespread hospitalizations. The system is flexible and has capacity, but only to a point.
There are about 51.6 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 globally, according to statistics tabulated by Johns Hopkins University in the U.S. Elsewhere, Hong Kong and Singapore will establish an air travel bubble later this month, allowing travelers from the two cities to visit one another without having to spend time in quarantine. The measure, which is due to start on November 22nd, was announced on Wednesday as the first step in a bid to stimulate tourism amid the coronavirus pandemic. Officials say up to 200,000 refugees could pour into Sudan while fleeing the deadly conflict in Ethiopia's northern Tigray region. Ethiopia's leader is rejecting negotiations with a regional government he regards as illegal. Ethiopia's Human Rights Commission condemned the arrest of journalists as Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed pressed ahead with a military offensive in a northern region against local leaders defiant of his authority. Hundreds have died in airstrikes and fighting since the conflict erupted a week ago. Fears are growing that Ethiopia could slide into an ethnically tinged civil war. Thousands of Armenian demonstrators demanded that Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan resign Wednesday over a ceasefire that secured territorial advances for Azerbaijan in Nagorno-Karabakh 6 weeks after fighting. The ceasefire announced on Tuesday ended the worst fighting in the region in decades and has been celebrated as a victory for Azerbaijan. 1,960 Russian peacekeepers will be stationed in the region to halt fighting. Bahrain Sheikh Khalifa bin Salman Al Khalifa, the world's longest-serving prime minister who put down opposition unrest repeatedly during his near half-century in power, has died. He was 84. Bahrain's state-run news agency announced his death on Wednesday, saying that he had been receiving treatment at the Mayo Clinic in the United States without elaborating. China's so-called Singles Day by e-commerce giant Alibaba has set new sales records year on year. This year, Alibaba said sales exceeded $56 billion by Wednesday morning. Reuters' Rosanna Pilpot explains how the event has managed to become the biggest online sales event in the world.
It's the world's biggest online shopping event. China's Singles Day by e-commerce giant Alibaba has set new sales records year on year. In 2019, the massive shopping frenzy generated a record $38.4 billion in total sales, double that of Black Friday and Cyber Monday combined. So what exactly is it? It's a 24-hour mega sale that takes place every year on November the 11th, also known as 11/11 or Double 11. Alibaba started Singles Day in 2009, marketing it as a festival for singles to treat themselves with retail therapy, a sort of anti-Valentine's Day. That year, only 27 brands participated. Last year, it was 200,000. It's become a highlight of China's e-commerce industry, involving celebrities, live revenue counts, and influencers live streaming products. Last year, it raked in $1 billion in the event's first 68 seconds, and a record-setting $23 billion in the first 9 hours. Then, pet food and beauty products were bestsellers. This year, it's forecasted to be health products like vitamins and air purifiers, and particularly luxury goods, as global travel bans prevent Chinese customers from shopping overseas. Indeed, pent-up demand from lockdowns could mean a big jump in its sales, or what's being labeled revenge shopping. Alibaba says it's doubled the amount of new products from last year. And social distancing isn't a problem. 90% of orders are made from smartphones, most using Alibaba's payment platform, Alipay. Warehouses are gearing up for the rush. Alibaba's Kaneo network says it processed 1.3 billion delivery orders in 2019, meaning 93% of China's population received a package. And they expect those numbers to rise again. This year's Blitz is being watched as a barometer for how strong customer appetite is rebounding in China.
Rosanna Pilpot reports for Reuters News. As severe weather events increase in frequency and intensity across the United States and around the world, scientists and forecasters are seeking more effective weather mapping programs. VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
Severe weather events are occurring more often across the U.S. Better understanding of such extreme climate patterns is crucial for scientists and forecasters, a goal in which researchers at the University of Maryland are hoping to contribute. Working in collaboration with NOAA and NASA, the researchers are developing a weather mapping program using 3D virtual reality technology, an advancement on existing programs where data is currently displayed in a two-dimensional format. Eric Lee is the lead virtual reality research programmer at the University of Maryland, who has worked on this project from its inception.
Atmospheric data is 3D in nature. Clouds aren't 2D. Winds don't blow east to west. They blow up and down as well.
Mason Quick is a research scientist at the University of Maryland.
What we're doing with the virtual reality is bringing it in and displaying the data in its native three-dimensional context, and we're hoping that that'll lead to better interpretation of the data by people that are using it.
The project, which is funded by NOAA, is one of the few weather mapping programs that's exploring virtual reality, and it's coming just in time. Scott Rudlowski is a physical scientist at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which funds the program.
If you can use our sensing technology with our knowledge of science to get actionable information to the folks that can act on it, you can potentially stop these forest fires before they grow into much more impactful events.
While the program is still in the early stages of development, the experts are clearly excited about its long-term potential. Eric Lee.
I think a system like this will make forecasting much easier for meteorologists and will lead to quicker and better decision-making in the event of maybe a natural disaster or an extreme weather event, and possibly help save lives.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
And that'll do it for us today. You've been listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of our entire production team, thank you very much for listening. Be sure to stay up to date with news and world events 24 hours a day. You can do so by listening to our hourly newscasts on your local VOA affiliate or by pointing your web browser on your phone, your tablet, your desktop computer, or any other electronic device to voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Be well, be safe, and good night.
An editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
November 11th is Veterans Day in the United States, a day to remember those who served in this nation's armed forces and to honor the sacrifice of those who perished in the service of their country. The observance is not limited to the United States. Most countries that were involved in the First World War commemorate this day. That's because November 11, 1918, marks the day on which an armistice signed by the Allied powers and Germany went into effect, ending the bloody conflict that was, at the time, called the War to End All Wars. This rosy sentiment notwithstanding, since the end of the First World War, not one single decade passed that was not shaped by a war. Be it conflicts in Korea and Indochina, in South Asia or the Balkans, battles in North Africa and the Middle East, or the largest, bloodiest conflict of them all, the Second World War, American soldiers have fought and died side by side with our allies to defend our common homelands, our people, our ideals. Since the first volley of gunfire in the Revolution, brave Americans in every generation have answered the call of duty and won victory for freedom in its hour of need, said President Donald Trump. Today, a new generation of American patriots are fighting to win the battle against terrorism, risking their lives to protect our citizens from an enemy that uses the murder of innocents to wage war on humanity itself. Today we remember those who stood up and defended not only America and its people, but those of other nations as well. Today we honor the sacrifice of those men and women who fought and lost their lives across all wars on every continent. We can never replace them, said President Trump. We can never repay them. But we can always remember. And today, that is what we are doing. We remember.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.